Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we still have one more question to ask of our text in Colossians 3:16 before we can wrap it all up and move on in our verse-by-verse study of this epistle. The text is one that speaks about Christian music, and most pointedly, the kind of music that we use when we gather together to worship God, but there are some elements here that certainly point toward the private use of Christian music as well, as we have seen as we have worked through the text. And I'm confident that a lot of the argumentation that goes on regarding what kind of music to use in church misses the point of this text entirely. We are oftentimes arguing about the wrong things. We're arguing about styles of music rather than purpose of music and contents of the message communicated by the music. Now, once we have that sorted out and well understood and are moving in that direction, then perhaps there will be a place to talk about styles of music. And there are a lot of things that can be said in that category. But one thing ought to be clear: if the message is paramount, as this text indicates, and as I think even just plain common sense would make clear, then it ought to also be clear that the music is there to augment the text, to support the text, to help the words of the text communicate the meaning of the words. And if they're not accomplishing that, or if in some way they are competing with the words of the text, then something is amiss. We've all heard music in church where the music was so loud that it was difficult to understand the words. Well, that misses the point. It misses the point entirely. The music is there to support the words, to augment the words, not to drown out the words. So, I read again Colossians 3:16, and then we shall address our last question. But the text says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, January 19, and thanks for remembering that we depend upon the financial gifts of our radio listeners to continue ministering on this station. Okay, seven questions, and I'll run through the first six very quickly, and then we'll look at the seventh. Question number one, what is the word of Christ? And the answer, in short, is the Bible. Question number two, what does dwell in you mean? Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And that means to live within you, to abide within you, to take up residence within you. In other words, to have a significant presence in your life. Number three, what does it mean to dwell richly? And that word richly just simply reinforces the previous concept. It means abundantly or extravagantly, and so the word of Christ should be dwelling in you in superabundance. Number four, where does wisdom apply? And wisdom, which is the right application of knowledge, applies both to personal application of God's word to my life and the wise teaching of God's word to others, because we are to teach and admonish one another. Question number five, what are believers expected to do in respect to one another? And the answer to that is teach and admonish one another. A very important concept. But then question number six is, how do we do this? And according to this text, we do it through music in a variety of Christian songs, namely psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we help teach God's Word to our fellow believers, both congregationally and corporate singing, as well as, and here comes the private aspect, privately in family worship, and even private devotions, and visits in people's homes and to sick beds and so forth. These are ways that we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now we come to question number 7. How are we to sing? And according to our text, we are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Let me read it again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how we are to sing. What does that mean exactly? Let's break that down. Well, we are to sing, first of all, with grace. More literally, in grace, or in the grace, to get the exact Greek wording. And so we are to sing in the grace of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, it probably combines together several ideas. Number one, it means that we sing conscious of God's grace. We are singing in the grace of God. We are singing with a constant awareness of God's grace to us. In other words, our unworthiness of God's grace, our unworthiness of salvation, our unworthiness to be among the company of those who are praising God in singing, our utter unworthiness and God's abundant, superabundant, amazing, inexplainable grace that has been poured out to us, which should fill our hearts with gratitude and should motivate our singing. So we are to sing in the grace of God. Another aspect of singing in the grace of God carries the idea of singing heartily, singing in a heartfelt way, singing robustly. We sing in the grace of God, that is, the grace of God helping us to sing heartily. And that brings us to the third idea, which is a bit overlapping. To sing in the grace of God means to be dependent upon God's grace in order to be able to praise Him and to edify others. If we are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, then we need the grace of God to be able to make our singing edifying to others, to be able to teach and admonish them, as well as to enable us to praise God. So, how are we to sing? Number one, in the grace of God. Number two, in your hearts, or from the heart, again, would be a better translation, I suppose. More clear, at least, but singing with grace in your hearts, from the heart, singing with in the grace of God from your heart, which communicates the idea of not merely mouthing words, but singing from the heart. And again, this has the idea of heartily, hearty, robust, heartfelt singing. But it also carries the idea that we do this with mind as well as lips. We sing from the heart, and in the Bible, the distinction is not the same as in our English American ideas that the heart is one thing and the mind is something else. But when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the thinking process as well as our emotions and will. It's all wrapped up together in the biblical concept of heart. And so to sing from the heart means to sing with our minds as well as our emotions, as well as our will, that is our determination to do this. But it, among other things, carries the idea about thinking about the words we're singing and let the message of the song grip our hearts. We've got to understand it. We've got to appreciate it by thinking it through before we're going to get the benefit from it. And when we do, it ought to grip our hearts. What part does emotion play in a God-honoring worship service? Some people have the idea that the music is what is the primary means of jacking up the emotion. And believe you me, music can do that. And musicians know how to do that. And church leaders know how to utilize music that way. But when it's used that way, I can't see much difference between a church service and a nightclub. Yes, you can jack people up with music. And the kind of music that jacks them up is generally the kind that you hear in a nightclub, or the kind that will jack them up most readily and to the highest degree. And that's why a lot of contemporary Christian music does sound very similar to nightclub music, is because the music is being used to jack people up emotionally. But that's not where God-honoring emotion comes in. Where does God-honoring emotion come in? When we think about the meaning of the words that we are singing, and the songs are doctrinally rich, filled with meaning, that meaning grips our heart, and that brings forth emotions of wonder, of praise, of adoration, a feeling of inadequacy and unworthiness, but all the more gratitude for God's worthiness. To think about what Jesus Christ did for me upon the cross, to think about what God the Father did in sending His Son to die for me, to think through the aspects of salvation and other promises of God's Word that are incorporated in good teaching-style music. The thought of these things, it's the concept of the message communicated by the words that, after we have thought it through, then grips our heart, grips our emotions, so that we respond emotionally to it. I find myself fairly regularly brushing away a tear from my cheek as I'm singing in the congregation of the saints at our church. But I can assure you, it's not because the music is lively and designed to jack me up emotionally. It's because the message of those hymns has so gripped my heart that I am moved to tears, to wonder, love, and praise. And that's God-honoring emotion. Emotion should follow teaching. Emotion is the response to truth. Emotion isn't something that we create artificially, irrespective of truth, as I'm afraid in many cases it is, but it ought not to be. Emotion is what flows out of our understanding and apprehension of truth. We understand what the truth is. We apply it to ourselves by faith, and that brings great emotional response. And so how do we sing? We sing in the grace of God from the heart. And the last thing about how we sing is to the Lord, our singing addressed to God. It is with men and before men, because we're singing in the congregation of the saints, but we are lifting our hearts toward God. There's that twofold purpose of music again that we've already talked about and we'll probably come back to again tomorrow. But this is very instructive as to how we are to sing. So we will take this up tomorrow and finish this text, Lord willing. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.